Wales. It's called, Are You Going to Wales or Wales? We're going to be talking about Jonah, and we're going to be looking at two responses to God's call. And tonight we're going to be looking specifically at rejecting God's call. And so I want to just ask you guys, raise your hand if you've ever had to learn something the hard way. We're all in that same club, right? And the guy we're going to be talking about tonight, Jonah, he's in that club too. And he learned the hard way in a really big way. He rejected God's call, and he ended up in the belly of a fish. I'm hoping I'm not spoiling anything for anybody, but that's what happened. And so as we look at that tonight, I want you to learn two things, okay? I want you to learn that God has a calling on your life. And the second thing I want you to learn is that you have a choice to either obey the calling or to reject the calling. And so in the next slide, I have a picture. This is Anthony. You guys know Anthony, some of you. And the thing right in front of Anthony is his birthday cake. On that cake is a mowed lawn. Anthony thinks that his calling is lawn care, okay? So he has a weed whacker. You guys maybe have seen him with his leaf blower. He walks around leaf blowing people on Sunday mornings sometimes. And he's got about four different lawn mowers. And I wanted to post a picture of that, but I didn't have a picture of all of them together. But one day, he decided he was going to mow upstairs. So he comes to me and he's like, Dad, I want to mow upstairs. And I said, hey, not right now, because I didn't want to take the lawnmower upstairs for him at the moment, right? And it kind of felt like Paul, when he went to God and he wanted to go to Asia Minor, and God said, hey, you're not going to Asia Minor right now. That's what it felt like internally, I'm sure. But I told him no, and you'll never guess what happened. He took it upstairs himself. Yeah, he disobeyed me. And unfortunately, we have a gate at the top of the stairs, and the mower got stuck, okay? So he's trying to work his way through this, and I'm doing something, so I didn't even know it was happening. And I just hear a tumble. And him and the mower fell down the stairs. And so, you know, I was disappointed, obviously. He disobeyed me. But I went there and I consoled him. I said, Anthony, you're never going to try to take your lawnmower up to your room again, are you? And of course, the answer was no, as he wiped away his tears. But who hasn't been there where you had to learn the hard way? You had to go through something painful to get the lesson that you needed to learn. You had to deal with the natural consequences of doing something maybe your parents told you not to do, right? Maybe some other authority told you not to do, and you had to deal with those natural consequences. We've all been there. Other times, you do something your parents told, or you do something your parents, how am I trying to say this? You do something that your parents told you not to do, or you can not do something, there we go, that your parents told you to do, right? I don't know why that was so hard. And then, so you have your natural consequences, and sometimes your parents are the consequence, amen? And that's because God has called parents to stewardship, right? Stewardship of their families, of their children's lives, and children are called to obedience. One of the first verses that we teach our kids, and I'm sure many of you guys have taught your kids this verse, is Ephesians 6:1. Who knows Ephesians 6:1? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And in our home, we do something special at the end. We emphasize that this is right. So whenever we do it, it's like, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And we do that because we want them to know. We want them to know that the right response to our stewardship is obedience. It's the right thing to do, right? It's the thing that they should do to whatever we're calling them to, because we're the parents. We have the authority in the household. And so, unfortunately, not everybody always gives that response to their parents, right? Has anybody ever disobeyed their parents before? No hands. We've all done that, I'm sure, right? And sometimes we even disobey God. There's many of us who have faced consequences for disobeying God, for the natural consequences, or even God's chastening. And we had to learn obedience to God the hard way to some degree. So tonight, like I said, we're going to meet a man who heard God's voice clearly. He understood exactly what God wanted him to do. And just like Anthony, he chose to disobey, right? And he had to deal with the consequences of that. And his name's Jonah. Jonah heard the call of God clearly, and he ran the opposite way. And like Jonah, we disobey God's will at times, and we do that when in his calling in our lives, and we do that when we say things like, God, I don't really want to do that, God. I know you said love your neighbors, but I don't really like that person. I know you said to be a giver, to give, but personally, I would rather have, Lord. I know you said go reach the lost, but that's just not my thing. This is not my thing, God. And that's, quite frankly, that's disobedience to what God's called us to do. And like a good father, God has to respond. And he often sends people to correct. We're going to see Jonah was sent to correct Nineveh. Sometimes he allows us to experience the natural consequences of our decisions, right? And we see how that plays out. And it's usually not that great when it's our will, not his. Other times, he chastens us himself, right? And that's never fun. But the Bible tells us that the motive for all of these things, for allowing us to go through certain things, for chastening us, is his love for us. Like a good parent, God loves his children and he wants what's best for his children. And he does everything that he can without taking away our free will to push us in that right direction, to guide us into obedience. And the thing is about God that trumps every earthly parent is God is better than every earthly parent because his rule, his will, his calling on our life are without flaw. God doesn't make a mistake in those things. He has a perfect plan for all of our lives. And if we follow that plan, if you follow that plan, your life is going to turn out better than it ever could doing whatever it is that you want to do. And when you do that, when you obey God, you'll skip the chastening. You'll skip the falling down the stairs most of the time. Obviously, we're not always perfect. We still make mistakes. But we're going to skip those things because when we choose obedience, we don't have to experience the consequences of our own disobedience. So you can either take my word for that. We're going to talk about it tonight. You can take God's word for it as we look at Jonah. Or you can learn the hard way. And that's all of our choice. We have that choice. But Jonah, he chose to learn the hard way. He fell down the stairs, so to speak, but God rescued him at the bottom. And so that's what we're going to look at tonight. And before we get started, I want to pray. So let's pray. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll dive into Jonah. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come together. And I thank you that you've given us your word that we can learn from, that we can apply to our lives, that we can skip out on so much bad in this life. There's still bad things that are going to happen to us, but we can take it, apply it to our lives, and live faithfully to you, and we can see you work in our lives. And I'm just so thankful for that. And I pray that as we leave tonight, that we would have something that we could apply to our lives specifically, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, Jonah was a prophet to God, to Israel, the northern kingdom of Israel. If you know anything about Israel, and in Jonah's time specifically, they were not in the best place. He was, the king of Israel was Jeroboam II. He was an evil king in a long line of evil kings, right? And they were pretty wicked. Despite their wickedness, though, God blessed Israel, and he showed his love for them and his mercy for them by sending Jonah to them and telling them some information in 2 Kings 14. And the king listened to Jonah. Even though he was a wicked king, he listened to Jonah. He did what Jonah said, and God blessed them. He restored some land. And the Bible doesn't tell us explicitly the timeline on this, but as in my reading, it seems like Jonah prophesied in Israel, and then he was called to prophesy to Israel's enemy, to Nineveh, to Assyria, right? And so, specifically the capital of Assyria, which is Nineveh. But Jonah, we know he was a Jew's Jew. He did not want to prophesy to a Gentile city. He did not want to go there. Wiersbe said he was the kind of prophet who wanted God's blessing for Israel and no one else. He loved his people. He loved his religion to the point that he would disregard other people groups and even reject his call from God. And so tonight we're going to see that by looking at how Jonah responded to God's call, that rejecting God's call is always the wrong response, okay? The Bible is full of people who had the wrong response to God. And the beauty of reading about people who had the wrong response to God is that we get to look at it and we get to see what they did and not make those same mistakes. We get to have the right response. We get to learn from it. And so tonight, what we're going to learn, the objective of tonight, is that every believer can have the correct response to God's call by understanding this three-stage process found in Jonah's initial response. And so we're going to pick up in Jonah 1, verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come before me." So God's calling, God has a calling on every believer's life. That's one of the things I want to tell you guys tonight. And for Jonah, it was to preach to Nineveh. That was God's calling on his life at that time. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. They were infamous for their brutality, for their extreme cruelty towards conquered people groups. And Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, so it was at the heart of it all. If you guys have ever seen Batman, the way that I picture Nineveh is just like Arkham, basically, right? It's highly dense. There's a big wealth disparity. There's violence and idolatry everywhere. It's an exceedingly wicked place. And God knows this, and God still sends Jonah. God also knows that Israel was going to experience the full extent of their wickedness firsthand just almost 50 years later, maybe a little bit more than 50 years later. And he knows that as well. In 2 Kings 17:6, it says, "In the ninth year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried away Israel into Assyria." And so God knows all of this. But if you know your Bible, then you know that this didn't just happen for no reason, right? Israel wasn't taken to Assyria for no reason. This was punishment on God's people, Israel. Does God love his people? Right? Of course he does. But it was time for them to answer for their evil. And like Israel, though they had no regard for God, God cared for the people of Nineveh. He cares for all of his creation. And he cared enough to send them a messenger to cry out to them and against their wickedness. And he called Jonah and he gave him this mission to go to the city and call out their evil, to challenge their way of life, to call them to repentance in the name of a God, our God, who they had no respect for. Because if they didn't, God was going to judge their wickedness. And we're going to find out later, and I already spoiled the story for you, Jonah didn't want to go. But who are we to second guess God? God called Jonah to reach the people of Nineveh, and God still calls people to specific tasks today, right? He does that by the working of the Holy Spirit through the word of God, within the context of the local body of believers. He still calls people to specific tasks. And I, for one, am thankful that he does that, right? If you were here 5 years ago, who's thankful that God called a pastor to Findlay, Ohio to preach to us, right? And recently, in the past few months, he's been talking to us about 1 Corinthians. And last month, he talked about gifting and how God gifts every believer for the work of the ministry, right? Some are also gifted for specific tasks. In Ephesians 4, it says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." God gives the church gifts. We all have gifts, right? But he also gives the church gifted people like pastors and deacons who lead the local body of believers in following Christ, or even missionaries and church planners who go to specific places with the word of God and proclaim it, similar to the way that Jonah was supposed to go to Nineveh, right? Calling them to repentance, calling them to faith in Christ, establishing churches. And here at Trinity, we love missionaries, amen? Who's thankful that God is still calling people to do God's work around the world? Who agrees there's plenty of work to be done, right? Jesus agreed in Matthew 9:37, Jesus says, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I believe Nineveh was a real place. I also believe that Nineveh was an image of the spiritual condition of fallen man. People are wicked all around the world. People are sinners, and people need saved. And people need saved people who are called by God to go to them with the gospel, just like Nineveh needed Jonah. And perhaps that's somebody in here tonight. Maybe God is calling you to do that. We have a group of missionaries in Wales right now with missionaries, or we have a group of our church, rather, in Wales right now with some missionaries ministering to kids. And it's been our prayer at Trinity that God would call somebody from Trinity to full-time ministry. But here's, and I hope you guys are praying for that, especially while they're there. That's a good thing to pray for while they're there. But here's the reality of calling. Whether you're here or you're there in Wales or you're somewhere else in the world, if you're in Christ, you're called to be a laborer in the harvest. Not every one of us is called to be the pastor or called to be a missionary, but every single believer is called to be an ambassador for Christ. Spurgeon said, every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. If you're a believer, you're a child of the light. You're called to be a child of the light, to be a witness to the world of what Jesus did in your life. This world is not your home. You've been gifted. You've been called to be a light in the darkness so that others can come to the saving knowledge of Christ. And we need to be doing that. Just as the gospel is for everybody, we agree the gospel is for everybody. Just as the gospel is for everybody, the Great Commission is for every single one of us as believers. Whether you have experienced a specific calling to go to Wales or not, you're called to make disciples of all nations, starting right here in Findlay, Ohio, right here at home, through your participation in the local body of believers, through the church. God wants to use you, and he's calling you to that work. And I think we can all agree across the board, objectively, that the correct response when God calls us is to obey his calling. That's exactly what Jonah does, right? I just was trying to see if you guys were paying attention. That is not what Jonah does. Have you guys ever got a call from somebody and you recognize the number and you have a good idea what they want and so you're really tempted to like just let it ring? That's Jonah in this moment. He gets the call from God, ring, and he's like, oh, it's God. And he throws the phone and then he's like, oh, wait. It's God, I forgot, I can't forward God. So he answers and he's like, hey, God. And God's like, go to Nineveh. And he's like, what? And he darts, he's gone. He leaves immediately. He gets a boat to Tarshish. He runs the complete opposite way. He leaves the phone at the house and everything. He did not want any part of God's calling in his life. And that brings us to stage two. Jonah didn't misunderstand God's calling. He didn't need clarification. He just didn't like the assignment, right? And he ran away. He rejected God's call. And so tonight, I want you to see how you can have the right response by looking at his wrong response. And that brings us to stage two, which is rejecting God's call. Verse 3 says, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah rejected God's call, and rejecting God's call is never the right response. I want you guys to look at what he did, because this is kind of crazy. So look at this map. He went from point A is where he was called, okay? He was called to Nineveh, which is 550 miles northeast of where he was, right? That's where he's called to. But he decides he's going to go five times the distance in the other direction, and he goes to point C, which is where Tarshish is, and that's located about 2,500 miles west. So God calls him east, 500 miles. He goes 2,500 miles west. He was really, or he tried to go 2,500 miles west. Let's keep it clear. But he was really trying not to do what God was calling him to do, right? He didn't only reject God's call. He went the exact opposite way that God asked him to do. And this wasn't just a personal failure on his behalf. It revealed something greater. When Jonah ran from Nineveh, he was not only ignoring God's specific instruction, his specific calling in his life, he was rejecting God's redemptive mission through Israel. But Jonah should have known better than anybody. He was a prophet of God, right? He should have known better than anyone that God's covenant blessing on Israel was heavily dependent on Israel's obedience. I'll get there in just a second. In Exodus 19:5, it says, "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." Jonah was a prophet of God, right? And if you go back and you read the prophets around his time, you'll see that they spoke more about Israel's disobedience than anybody else's, right? Read Amos, read Hosea. And God, we see then that God was just as displeased with his own people's sin as he was with Nineveh's sin. And that's why God allowed Assyria eventually to take Israel, Israel and Jonah's people, the very people that Jonah was called to judge, to call to repentance, end up taking the unrepentant Israel away, right? And so we find that Jonah, in where we're at right now in this story, is Jonah is looking at Assyria with disgust, with disdain. He's even attempting to withhold God's blessing, or God's mercy rather, from them. He thinks he hates those people. He doesn't want anything to do with them. Do you see the irony here? He's literally running in the opposite direction from God, and he's judging Assyria for being wicked. It's kind of crazy. When God's people reject God's call, they're acting no different than the unbelievers that they're judging for that, right? Jonah was acting no different. Jonah was sinning because of his hate for sinful people. He was sinning by rejecting God's call in his life. And here's the truth for us. When we run from God's call to share the gospel, whether it's to our school, to our community, overseas, we're doing exactly what Jonah did. We're not just avoiding a task on our task list. We're disobeying God. We're sinning. James 4:17 says, "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." And if you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, then God is calling you to reach the lost today, to share the truth, to live a holy life, to reflect Christ in this dark world. And you have the choice to obey that call or to reject that call. Jonah chose to reject it. And when he did, he got on this boat to run the other way from God, and he faced the consequences for that. In Jonah 4:1-5, rather, it says, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried out every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep." Jonah was trying to ride this thing out. He was not planning to turn around. He was just going to see it through. And after he got on that boat, God sent this storm, and it's so bad that it's going to kill everybody. It's going to take him out. So fast forward in that story, Jonah, knowing that the storm was caused by his disobedience, he offers himself up as a sacrifice, hoping that God would spare everybody else on the boat. And when he went into that water, the storm calmed, and the men of the boat feared God. They offered sacrifices to God. Doesn't that kind of sound like what Jesus did on the cross? The difference between Jonah and Jesus is that Jonah sacrificed himself to save a few sailors from the consequences of his own sin, right? Jesus went on that cross having never sinned. He gave his life for the sins of the world to save all who believe in him. God is so graceful. And we see it even here in this story as Jonah's in the boat at the climax of his foolishness. God uses him to win a few sailors, right? But in verse 15, we see this image. We see Jonah all alone in the middle of the sea, no ship, no plan, just him and the consequences of his disobedience. And Jonah was going to die there in the sea. Jump ahead to Jonah chapter 2, verse 5 for 1 second, and it says, "The waters compassed me about, even to my soul. The depth closed round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head." God let Jonah sink as far as he needed to finally look up, to finally call on God. And maybe you've been there too. Maybe you've hit rock bottom. Maybe you're even here tonight and you're at the end of yourself. I've been there. I've been there before. My sin had me in a place that was so distant from God that it almost felt like God was acting against me. But really, he was just waiting for me to look to him again, to repent from my sins, and to walk faithfully with him. And that's what Jonah ends up doing, mostly. We're going to look at that too. But Jonah's disobedience led to God's discipline. And even there, at the lowest place that he'd ever been, God wasn't done with him. If you feel like Jonah tonight, then you need to know that God's discipline isn't cruelty. It's mercy and love, according to Hebrews 12:6. His discipline is not about payback. God's not trying to get even with us about something that we did. It's about bringing us back to him, drawing us closer to him. It's meant to lead his people to repentance. And that's what happens in Jonah's life. Jonah rejected God's call, but he got God's message, right? That brings us to stage three, which is returning to God's purpose. In stage three, we're going to pick up in verse 17 of chapter 1. It says, "Now the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." When Jonah called out to God in the middle of the ocean, God showed him mercy by saving his life and returning him to his calling. And that's what we're going to see Jonah was in the fish's belly 3 days and three nights, right? But when Jesus was judged for our sins, he was in the ground, dead, for 3 days and three nights. And Jonah should have been in that same position. Jonah should have been sleeping with the fishes, so to speak, right? For his own sin. Instead, he was sleeping in one for three nights. He was so far from God, but God still gave him another breath, another opportunity to get right with him. And Jonah took that opportunity. In verse 1 of chapter 2, it says, "And Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly." And if you read chapter 2, we're not going to read it, but Jonah's prayer wasn't a surface level prayer at all. It was raw. It was all about confessed sins, admitting what he had done, admitting how hopeless he was in that moment as he's drowning in the ocean, as he fell towards his death. And he says in that moment that his soul fainted and cried out to God, and God saved him. Now I want you to look at verse 8, chapter 2. As Jonah's going through all of this, Jonah learned a great lesson, okay? He learned in verse 8, chapter 2, says, "They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy." The author acknowledges that Jonah continued in his own way, following his own vanities, his hate for Nineveh, his flesh, then he would have effectually forsaken his own mercy. God is a merciful God, amen? But we can be so stingy about our own will at times. We can reject God's call when it's about our will, sometimes to the point where we even reject God's rescuing hand in our life. And when we do that, there's some who reject God's grace all the way to the grave. And Jonah's saying, or the author of Jonah at least is saying, that's what was going to happen. And Jonah did not want to be that guy. I don't want to be that guy. Nobody wants to be that guy, right? Jonah did not want to do that. And so he called on God as his life faded, and God saved him from the deep. And then 3 days later in verse 10, it says, "And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land." But that's not the end of the story. The story doesn't go, God called Jonah. Jonah ran away from God's calling. God chastened him. Jonah learned his lesson in the end, right? That's not how it goes. Jonah didn't simply get out of the whale's belly, wipe the fish guts off his shoulders and such, and say, well, at least I didn't have to go to Nineveh, right? That's not what happened at all. In the next few verses, it says, verse 1 and 2 of chapter 3, it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time, and saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." God in his mercy didn't cancel Jonah's calling on his life. He just brought Jonah right back to it. God was calling Jonah to Nineveh, and Jonah was going to go. And so maybe you're here tonight and you've rejected God's calling in your life. You said, God, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do what you're asking me to do. And you've faced consequences for that. You felt distant from God for that. I want you to know that it's not too late for you. God didn't need Jonah to be perfect. He doesn't need you to be perfect. He just needed Jonah to stop running and to obey, right? And that's all we have to do. If you don't believe me, come back next week and see how the rest of the story goes. We're going to talk about what happens after that. And it's amazing to see what God does. The story isn't over, though, and if you're hearing this tonight, your story is not over. But I want you to know tonight that every believer, every single one of us, we can have the right response to God's calling when we understand what Jonah did. Jonah's response was receiving God's call. God told him what he wanted him to do. Then he rejected God's call, right? He did not want to do that. But then he returned to God's purpose. Now, clearly, I don't want anybody to leave here tonight and say, I'm going to do exactly what Jonah did. This is not a step-by-step process that we're reading about tonight. Jonah made a terrible decision. He had the wrong response, and it had consequences. And like I said, the story didn't end there. Jonah repented, and God called him right back to the place he ran from. And so if you properly understand this three-step process, this of Jonah's response, then you know that the correct response is to just obey God. Amen. Obey God's calling on your life. Next week, we're going to talk about what happens when you do, and it's amazing. But when you obey God's calling for the sake of tonight's message, then you get to skip falling down the stairs. You get to skip God's chastening. Even as merciful as the whale was, I don't think Jonah was in the whale like, this is great. Right? Nobody wants to go through that. God had to rescue Jonah from dying in the ocean. And yeah, that was great. It was so merciful, but it was not pleasant. Nobody wants to go through that. And when you're obedient to God, you get to miss out on that stuff as a result of your own sin. Sometimes we go through things. I'm not saying that we don't go through things, but it won't be as a result of our sin when we're obedient to God. And there's so much more that God does with our obedience, and I'm excited to tell you guys about that next week. But the question tonight, it's not if God is calling you, okay? If you're saved, God has called you. You may not be called to be a pastor or a missionary, but you are certainly called to be a laborer in God's harvest. So don't reject that calling. Obey it. The call of God is greater than any plan that you could ever have for your own life. And so what the question is tonight then, in application, is are you obeying God's call in your own life? Maybe the answer is yes, and you're faithfully serving, you're proclaiming God's word, his name, you're following everything that he asked you to do. You're being obedient. then I want you to be encouraged tonight that you're right where God wants you. Keep going. Don't grow weary. God is going to do amazing things in your life through your faithfulness to him. Stay faithful because the world needs to hear the name of Jesus Christ. But if your answer is no, and you're saved, then you probably feel distant from God. You may even be experiencing chastening today from your own disobedience. Let me just tell you this. God didn't leave you. You left him. But as one commentator said, the belly of a fish is no happy place to live, but it's a great place for repentance. You can cry out to God right here, right now, tonight, and he'll forgive you. He will restore you to your purpose, or to his purpose for you. And it'll be a beautiful thing, just like we're going to see next week what he does with Jonah's life. If you don't know Jesus tonight, though, you likely feel far from God as well. You may even feel like, man, God is hard on me. He's chastening me. But let me tell you, he's not chastening you. He's calling you to draw near to him. And you can draw near to him right here. You can call on the name of Jesus and he'll save you, not just from circumstances. He may save you from circumstances, but he will save your sin, or save you from your sin forever, for eternity. And you can spend eternity with Jesus in heaven for how long? For eternity. And so tonight, if you don't know Jesus, I pray that you would leave here knowing him personally. Pastor Ben is going to come, and the piano player is going to come, and I'd ask you guys to please stand, every head bowed, every eyes closed. Wherever you are tonight, whether you're running or you're walking faithfully or you're needing salvation, God is calling. Stop running. Start obeying. Don't reject his call. Don't waste the chance you have right now. God's mercy has given you another breath, another opportunity to live out his calling in your life, to return to his purpose, and to walk out of here tonight with a clean heart, ready to live an obedient and faithful life. Don't be like the man who rejects God's mercy to his own demise. However God's calling you, surrender to that. Surrender to ministry. Return from disobedience. Cry out for salvation. Obey him tonight, because this may be the last chance you get. You never know. Let's pray. Thank